Chapter 4. The Pequod. Queequeg and I left the boat and looked for the Tripots Hotel.
My cousin, Hosea Hussey, owns one of the best hotels in Nantucket, Peter Coffin had said.
When we found the hotel, we met Mrs. Hussey, the wife of Peter Coffin's cousin. After we asked for supper and a bed for both of us, she took us into a little room, sat us down at a table, and brought us bowls of tasty fish soup. After supper, Mrs. Hussey gave us a lamp and told us where to find our room. But as Queequeg was about to go up the stairs, she held out her hand and said,
"Give that to me. No harpoons in the bedrooms."
"Why?" I asked. "Every whaler sleeps with his harpoon."
"It's dangerous," she said. "I had a young sailor kill himself with his harpoon in one of my bedrooms, and ever since, I don't allow anyone to take a harpoon up there. So, Mr. Queequeg," for she had learned his name, "I'll just take your harpoon, and you can have it back in the morning."
Queequeg politely gave her his harpoon. Before we went to sleep, we discussed our plans for the next day. I was surprised when Queequeg told me that he had been talking to Yoho, for that was the name of his little god, and that Yoho had given his instructions. I was not happy to hear that I had to go out on my own and choose our whaling ship. In fact, I did not like the plan at all for two reasons. The first was that I had been trusting Queequeg, with all his experience of whaling, to choose the right ship. The second was that Queequeg, though he trusted Yoho, had told me that the little god's advice was not always very good. However, I could not change Queequeg's mind, so the next morning, leaving Queequeg and Yoho at the hotel, I went to find us a ship. I learned that there were three ships which were getting ready for three-year voyages: the Devil Dam, the Titbit, and the Pequod. I looked at each of the ships very carefully and decided that the Pequod was the ship for us. She was old, quite small for a whaling ship, and her wooden sides and her three masts were dark brown, as if she had been in bad weather in all corners of the world. Her decks were smooth and old, but there were also wonderful and amazing things to see, because everywhere there were reminders of what she was: a whaling ship. Instead of being made from pieces of wood, the bulwarks around the open deck were made from the long, sharp teeth of a sperm whale. Instead of wooden blocks, the rigging was fixed around blocks of whalebone. And instead of a wheel, there was a whalebone tiller to steer the ship with. It seemed strange and sad that a helmsman would steer a ship which hunted whales using a whale's bone. As I looked around for someone to talk to, at first I could see no one. Then I noticed a strange sort of tent made from pieces of a whale's jaw tied together and ending at a point about 10 feet above the deck. There was a small opening, and in the tent I saw a big old seaman with skin which was brown and wrinkled from years on the decks of ships. He was sitting on an old wooden chair. "Are you the captain of the Pequod?" I asked.
"If I am, what do you want of me?" he replied.
"I'm thinking of signing on as part of the crew," I said.
"You are you? You are not a Nantucketer, I can see that. Have you ever been in a stove boat? A boat that has been hit and turned over by a whale?" he asked.
"No, sir, I never have."
"Do you know anything about whaling?"
"Nothing, sir," I said, "but I'm sure I can soon learn. I've been a sailor on merchant ships."
"Merchant ships? Do not talk about them to me," said the old whaler. "But why do you want to go whaling? Tell me that before I think of taking you on board."
I realized that the old seaman was a Nantucketer who would not easily trust someone like me, so I just answered him honestly. "I want to see the world. I want to see what whaling is."
"Ha! Want to see what whaling is, do you?
He replied.
Have you seen Captain Ahab?
Who is Captain Ahab, sir?
Captain Ahab is the captain of this ship.
I'm sorry, sir. I thought I was speaking to the captain, I said.
You are speaking to Captain Peleg, part owner of the Pequod with Captain Bildad. But as I was going to say, if you want to know about whaling, you should see Captain Ahab. When you do, you will find out he has only one leg.
What do you mean, sir? Was he attacked by a whale?
Attacked by a whale? Yes, he was. His leg was eaten by the most enormous whale that a whaler could ever see.
The old man sounded quite wild with excitement now. I replied as calmly as I could. That's terrible, but it doesn't mean that all whales will do that, does it?
Ha, he said. Do you still want to sign on to be a whaler?
I do, sir, I replied.
Ha,
he repeated, seeming to make a decision about me.
You may sign your papers now. Come along with me.
And he led me down into a cabin where I saw Captain Bildad, a thin, serious-looking old man, sitting straight-backed, reading a copy of the Bible. He looked up at me, and then at Captain Peleg, as if asking a question.
He wants to sign on for the voyage, Peleg told him.
Do you? Said Bildad to me.
I do, I replied. Bildad looked at me again. Then he said to Peleg,
We will take him.
Peleg opened a chest, got out the ship's official papers, and sat down at a little table, pulling a pen and some ink toward him. I began to think about what I would like to be paid for the voyage. Whalers get paid no wages, but every man on the ship, including the captain, gets a share of the money earned when the oil from the whales they have caught is sold. Each man's share is called his lay. I knew that my lay would not be large, since I was not an experienced whaler. But I was used to the sea, I could steer a ship, and understood the rigging. I thought that I should get around the 275th share of the money earned from catching whales. It would not be a big amount, but I would also get all my food and somewhere to live for 3 years.
Well, Captain Bildad, said Peleg, what lay shall we give this young man?
The 777th lay wouldn't be too much, would it? Replied Bildad. This was a very, very small lay, but Peleg spoke before I could.
Why, Captain Bildad, he cried. Do you want to cheat this young man? He must have more.
And then a noisy argument started between the two old friends. Peleg shouted and Bildad spoke quietly, and at last it ended as suddenly as it had started when Peleg picked up his pen. He started to write, saying,
I am going to put him down for the 300th lay.
Captain Peleg, I said, I have a friend with me who wants to sign on too. Shall I bring him with me tomorrow?
Has he ever whaled?
Peleg asked me. He's killed more whales than I can count, I replied.
Very well, Peleg replied. Bring him along then.
After signing the papers, I left the Pequod. At first, I was happy that I had found the ship which Yoho wanted us to sail on. But then I started to think about the captain. I had signed on to be part of the crew of a ship whose captain I had never met. I turned and went back to find Captain Peleg and asked him where I could find Captain Ahab.
Why?
He asked me.
You have signed the papers already.
I would like to meet him, I replied.
You will not be able to meet him, young man, Peleg said. He is staying indoors. He is not sick, but he is not well either. And he will not often see me, so he will not see you. He seemed as if he was mad for a while on the voyage home after the whale took his leg, but it was because he was in great pain.
He stopped, thinking about the captain's terrible experience, then went on again.
You will like him, young man. He is a good captain. He does not speak much, but when he does, you will listen. You must not be worried that the name Ahab is the name of an evil man in the Bible. The captain is a fine man, but he is not an ordinary man.
As I walked away, I was thoughtful. There was something ominous about this voyage, and it was connected to the captain. I felt sympathy for Captain Ahab and some sadness, but I did not know why, unless it was because he lost his leg. But I also felt there was a mystery about him, which made me both fear him and want to meet him.